Hour three continues. You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Colaiacovo. We were just doing a deep dive on the 2000 NHL entry draft, where I think our next guest went at least two picks too low. Should have definitely been a top three pick. Scott Hartnell from the Prince Albert Raiders. We're talking about this because the draft lottery went last night where San Jose privy to the number one overall pick, which we expect to be Macklin Celebrini. Let's welcome in our man Scott Hartnell from the NHL Network. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Great, fellas. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you very much for coming back and joining us on the show. What do you remember about the draft lottery in 2000? Is that something you were dialed into to see where you might be drafted to at that time?
Yeah, well, there was no lottery, I believe. I think I was rated fifth or fourth, and I had a lot of good interviews with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I thought for sure they picked number four, so I thought for sure I was going there. And they picked Rostislav Kvesla. And the next pick was the New York Islanders. They just picked DiPietro, number one. And they picked Rafi Torres, number two. And I'll never forget my mom, sitting beside my parents. And all the cameras came around us, and, they're all dialed in, focused. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going next, right? And they go, oh, from, the Ontario Hockey League, Rafi Torres, and all the cameras do a quick 180 and zoom in on Rafi because, he was a top, 5-6 pick as well. And next thing you know, it was, and then I kind of knew I was going next because I had a lot of good interviews with Nashville. And went 6th overall, so it was kind of hilarious. My mom was just fist pumping that I wasn't going to Long Island.
Yeah, I was going to say, not too shabby to go from Long Island to spending most of your career in Nashville, in Nash Vegas. You helped build that market.
Yeah, it was a cool town, and when I got traded to Philadelphia, it was like every year, every 2 years, you go in, they're like, oh my gosh, there's another hotel here, and then there's new bars going up. There was just abandoned buildings downtown there on Broadway, right, with like rocks thrown in them, and now they're going for like $10 million apiece, and they couldn't give them away back in 2000. So if I would have known what I know now, I would have bought up all of downtown Smashville.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what to make of the whole draft lottery process, and I know they're trying to make it a made-for-TV event, but what was your reaction to see how the lottery played out yesterday, where literally no team moved any position? You saw San Jose, and good for them, first time ever in franchise history, they get the number one overall pick, and they're likely going to draft a homegrown kid in Macklin Celebrini, but what do you make of the whole draft lottery process to begin with?
Yeah, well, the last couple of years, too, remember, when they went to break and saw Columbus's Jaromír Kekäläinen's face when he didn't get that down to the last two teams, right? So there wasn't any hiccups, in that respect of it, but it is what it is, right? They're saying there's always a chance to move up, and last one was pretty blah, if you will, but I don't know if it's a good thing when you get first overall draft pick, but when you're trying to rebuild, it seems like San Jose has been rebuilding for quite a while. So we'll see what happens and see what they can do.
Scott Hartnell, our guest, NHL Network, longtime NHLer. Now, the Toronto Maple Leafs are not entering a rebuild by any stretch, but perhaps a retool. And there's a lot of people calling for the Leafs to break up the core four and try a different approach to roster construction. What did you make of the series against the Boston Bruins, Scott? And how would you recommend the Leafs go from here?
It was right there for them, right? I had Leafs in my pool going all the way to the finals, actually, against Edmonton. So I was a little disappointed personally that it blew up my bracket, but they've been kind of running it back, right? What, four or five years in a row here? Everyone makes big money, for their team. So if you can get something big for one of those guys, I think you got to go do it. Free up some cash, cap space, maybe look for another free agent. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Cause what's working or what's been going on hasn't been working, right? It hasn't taken them to the next level. And just seems like, it's like baseball. You get in the playoffs and your bats go cold, or in a series, you can't get runs. You can't get run support for your goaltenders you're out. Right. So it's, something needs to happen. I think you can't just keep going back to the well, and, the same thing happens. So it's, I would say time for a change, but that's you know, that's just a washed up NHLer. 17 years saying that.
Scotty, your impression of the playoffs so far? We're in the second round. Which team has impressed you the most, and which team has been the biggest surprise for you?
Well, Avalanche are a heck of a team, right? This is, they're down 3-0. There's no quit in their game, right? And what a goal by a depth player there, Miles Wood, in overtime. I'm interested to see this Vancouver Edmonton series. I usually try to stay up past 10 o'clock to watch these games. Yeah. So I might have to have a little nap this afternoon to make sure I'm juiced up for that one. So I'm excited to see McDavid take on Pettersson and the Vancouver Canucks. So that's the series for me that I'll be dialed into.
You would have played against the Rangers and the Hurricanes a ton of times in your career, especially when you were with the Philadelphia Flyers. So I'm sure you're kind of cringing watching both teams succeed so far in this postseason. But the way that Jake Guentzel has assimilated himself in the Canes lineup, he scores twice last night. He's been just an unbelievable pickup for Carolina. And like the way that Shesterkin played last night, I think he had 54 saves in that double overtime win where Trocheck scores. What are your impressions of the Rangers as a whole? And they did win the President's Trophy, so clearly they're a really quality hockey team. But how would you compare them to some of the teams maybe out west as far as quality goes?
I think the Rangers are going to be right there at the end of the day. I think they're so deep, right? They got just that MSG. Their building is just absolutely crazy. It's crazy in exhibition. And now it's in the second round of the playoffs, and I don't think anyone left there going into double OT, and their goal song, and it's just such an incredible atmosphere. And I love playing there, trying to ruin New Yorkers' nights, right? That's the whole thing when you get on the road. That's your whole objective, right? Is to put a damper on their evening, and they've been feeling it at home, all season long. And Coach Laviolette, he's got them playing that fun offensive system that, they got the guns to do it, right? Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider with his speed, and Trocheck's been a beast. So I think the more you look at this team, the more you think that they're the team to beat. So
Hartsy, you've played your fair share of playoff games, almost 100. Well, you finished at 99, and you've played in some crazy buildings against some great teams and stuff like that. Do you ever sit back and reflect, where your best playoff moment was, and what was your favorite building that gave you the best experience of what playoff hockey is?
Yeah, I lost the game 7 in New York Rangers. That was devastating. Played in the whiteout in Winnipeg my last season there in 2017, I believe, and that was pretty cool playing just playing in Canada, right? It's just a different level than playing in the States. But probably number one was the Chicago, the national anthem when everyone's just cheering in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2010. We never did get a game there. We lost all three games there, but it was, high scoring affair. It was probably my best hockey that I played in that series. And then at home in Philadelphia, obviously it was a pretty cool place to play. They appreciated hard work. They appreciated the guys playing with guts. And that was, kind of what my game was all about. So, it is the best time to watch hockey, not that you just sit on your hands and not watch it during the regular season, but you just can't turn it off for literally 2 months. So it's pretty incredible to watch these guys battle it out, and just the preparation for the trainers and all the little things behind the scenes, right? It's just really incredible.
As someone who played in 99 playoff games, you'd be uniquely qualified to answer this question. Again, Scott Hartnell is our guest. We saw Florida coming off a 9-day layoff, kind of lay an egg to the Boston Bruins in game one last night. It's Colorado who has that long layoff. They go down 3-0. Now they do storm back and beat Dallas. Is there something to the idea of a long layoff coming into a playoff series affecting you in the first game? And it's a particularly appropriate question considering tonight Edmonton's going to be playing with 8 days off before their first game against Vancouver.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think, the season's, 6-7 months, right? And literally you're playing 3 to 4 games a week, right? You hardly practice towards the end of the year, and that's the best part about playoffs, right? You never know if it's going to go into overtime or you get those extra minutes. And you know, you usually have the next day off. You have a quick morning skate, you play. You know, day off, travel day, you know, morning skate, you play. And then when you have 8, 9, 10 days off, you're like, okay, you got a couple days off. You got to have a couple hard days of practices. You got to keep your mind in it. You know, it's springtime. You want to watch baseball, go for a golf round. It's like, oh, man, we're only in round two, right? It's so mentally it's you know, tough to check in every time you're at the rink. You know, but it is the playoffs and you're fighting for that Stanley Cup. So there's that part of it too, where it shouldn't affect you that much. But, you know, when you're playing every second day, like Boston just did to Florida, you know, you basically get on a flight literally the next day, don't practice, get out on their morning skate, and then you stomp a really good Florida team, you know, in Florida. So it's, there's something to be said, by just kind of keeping your routine going in and out, you know, playing every second day.
Scott, we really appreciate your time as always. Again, Rostislav Klesla should not have been drafted over you. That was a really poor decision by Columbus. Carlo did fight him in junior, so maybe that was
That's payback for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Hey, keep boosting my ego. I'll come on every week for you guys.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking. That is Scott.
Nice.
Arnold.
That's what we do, buddy.
That is. I did boost Ryan Hollins. I think the kids call it glazing. That's what they call it. Glazing. Wow. I'm shocked Mia and Leo don't use that term. You know, when they're watching YouTube all the time, glazing is a term that the kids use when you're, you know, pumping someone's tires a little bit.
Do you know
what
the term megged is?
No. What's that?
It's like a soccer term, like when you put like the ball between somebody's legs to deke them out. It's like you got megged. Like,
yeah.
Not megged. I don't know. My kids are telling me this. I'm like, where are you guys learning this?
Your kids are super cool. They know all the terms. All the terms.
Hopefully the appropriate ones.
Like lit, that's fire. Slay, that's another term I've heard.
Slay the dragon.
I start teaching this week as well. And when I started teaching, this is my 7th year, I think. I was like in my mid-20s or my mid to late 20s. So I was still kind of cool. Now I'm an old man. So all these kids coming out of university are probably going to have all new types of terms that I won't understand. It's quite likely. Like TikTok. I do understand TikTok. I love TikTok.
Glizzy?
Glizzy? Yeah, that's a hot dog, right? Maybe we'll do a quiz at some point during the summer about all, like, maybe Mia and Leo can come on and come up with terms, and we need to figure out what they mean. Not in the summertime. They're not in school.
Oh, summertime. Yeah. They'll probably be out by the pool or something.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a PA day coming up soon anyways.
It probably is. Surprised it's been this long since they've
No worries. One. We'll find a way to get them on the show. This hour, First Up, was brought to you by Lease Busters. Lease Busters will get you out of your car lease today. It is as easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit leasebusters.com. We'll talk to the nail gun, Dave Naylor, on the 9-game, the minimum of 9 games suspension for Chad Kelly, the quarterback of the Argos, where the double blue go from here, and what the future of Chad Kelly is in the Canadian Football League, plus some of our conversation with Steve Phillips, perhaps Frank Corrado as well, and my FanDuel best bets. All that's still to come.